fighting for America.
You can shake your head all you want to, Commissioner. You have said today that there's no evidence of criminal wrongdoing. And I'm asking you what criminal statutes you have reviewed to reach that conclusion.
I've reviewed no criminal statute.
Fighting for Idaho.
They got a phone call from Senator Risch and a phone call from Senator Crapo saying, you know, we'd like you to support our governor and the establishment and just take Senator Risch's son's letter to be the fact.
Fighting for you.
Just recently read a few articles on the effectiveness of performing the Heimlich maneuver on drowning victims before starting CPR. I was in the right place at the right time. There's over 250 Boise firefighters who would have done the same thing.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, almost 2 years, actually it's been 2 years since I saw him. He left on June 22nd, so I'm still trying to get him out and back to Idaho.
Well, how are you holding up on that? I mean, I did see that Facebook posting that it had been 2 years, and can you take us back to that day that you last saw your husband?
Yes, he packed on June 21st, and recently I received his case back. I wasn't supposed to until he came back, but his parents sent it back. And I got it on the same day he had been packing. And he was packing, and he was supposed to leave in a few weeks. Total of 1 month. He was supposed to be in England for 1 week and then make a quick trip to Iran for the orphanage and come back. So we said our goodbyes on June 22nd, dropped him off at the airport. It was early in the morning. The kids were sleeping, so he kissed them goodbye as they slept, and never anticipated that the quick goodbye would turn into 2 years of not seeing him.
Well, I'm sorry, Nagme, go ahead.
Yeah, and it's been really emotional. In a few days, actually June 30th is our 10-year anniversary, so... you know, as many women know, you remember all the moments when anniversaries come up and Father's Day just passed. And just remembering the moments we would be together as a family is very difficult, very emotional.
And for people that aren't familiar with this, we can never emphasize this enough. Your husband had the word of the Iranian officials. He had approval there. He had been working with them. They assured him that his safety would be secure.
Exactly. He was working with them. They were encouraging him to come work on the orphanage. He was getting approval, and all of a sudden they took him. And when they sentenced him in 2013 to 8 years, they didn't say he'd broken any law. They went back to 13 years earlier in the year 2000 when he converted from Islam to Christianity. And they said, you know, his crime was undermining the national security of Iran. And they said it was because of Christian gatherings that have happened 13 years earlier. And, you know, Iran, it is legal to have peaceful gatherings of religious minorities, including Christians. So they couldn't say that was the crime, but they said, well, that was really the Christian gatherings was really undermining the national security of Iran. And this happened 13 years earlier.
Now, and basically he was working with kids in orphanages, right?
He was, yeah. He was working with, we were taking in kids that no one wanted. We were taking girls that were a little bit older, and 8, 9, 10. And we had worked with the Iranian government to take, you know, kids that no one wanted and that we would take them. So, yes, we were working with kids.
What's the plight of those children now, or the children in Iran?
You know, we were very, the kids and I actually went back with Saeed in 2011, towards the end of it, because we were very close to accepting him. We picked him out, but they never actually made it to the orphanage. So they are still orphans.
That's a sad case.
It is, yeah. There's no one. You know, usually young kids are the first who are taken, adopted. And then usually boys, girls, a little bit older girls are the ones that no one really takes. And they're still, they're, you know, turning into their teenage years, and they still don't have any support or any covering over them. So it's pretty sad that they are still without any support because of this.
What goes on in your mind when you hear and read that we might be helping the Iranian government?
Wow. That is something I did not expect. It's playing with fire. It's crazy. It's the craziest thing I could ever imagine. And I hope I really do hope that there's some sanity left, that we don't do that. It's something I never thought I would hear in my lifetime. And it's a crazy government. It's shaking hands with that government is not wise. And I hope there's people in our administration who realize that.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not a bright person, but even I know, look, we can go back to 79. You have much more of an experience with the Iranians than most of us, even before your husband was taken. The government there is not to be trusted. I mean, when they call you the great Satan, it doesn't seem like they want to, invite you over for s'mores.
Exactly. Exactly. There, their mindset, everything they're about is anti-America and anti-Israel. And so, that even making any agreement with them, it's going to backfire in the future. And as you said, many of us are not politicians, but it's such an obvious, it's so obvious. This is the country they are, and they're not to be trusted. I do hope our administration sees that too. It's a mess in the Middle East, but I think we need to really look at it. It's different than Europe. It's different than the U.S. Some forms of diplomacy don't work that work in other countries. You just have to look at the Middle East and say, well, it's its own creature, and how do you deal with it? You can't look at it the way you look at Europe. You just can't. And Iran in itself is another level it's complicated even at a different level.
At 580 KIDO, but Nagmeh, let's take a look at the unrest in Iraq and Syria, the Iranians creeping in. Does that have any impact on your husband's situation at all?
I look at the news with the lens of what does this mean for my husband also, because he is in a way taken hostage. He didn't break any law. They took him. The revolutionaries took him. And Revolutionary Guards, who are the ones that are fighting in Iraq right now. And so I do look at it, when they ask for our help, does that mean they're willing to give them up? But we don't want to help them. But, what does that mean? Are they taking him hostage to try to say, well, do this and do that? And it does. I think all of it, all their involvement, all their talks with the U.S. is somehow involved. And what I think as a Christian is you do the right thing. You don't negotiate with the, enemy. You don't do things, you force them to do the right thing, which is you're taking someone based on their religious belief. They haven't broken any law, and he just needs to be released. You can't be holding him hostage and trying to negotiate things. So this is what I believe in. This is why I've traveled all over the world, asking governments to pressure Iran, because Iran just needs to release Saeed, nothing else, and Iran needs to know that this is not acceptable. The Christian persecution continues, the killings, and all over the world, but, a lot of Islamic governments, a lot of Islamic extremists are doing this, and the world, people need to stand up, Christians and non-Christians, and say this: the slaughter of Christians and what's happening, especially in the Middle East with the Christians, is not right. And Iran just needs to release this guy, and they can't be taking hostages. It's not acceptable.
You bring up a good point, Nagmeh. Nagmeh Nabedini with us here at 580 KIDO, talking about her husband, who's imprisoned by the Iranian government, and we urge them to release them. And all the other folks there, not just Pastor Saeed, but there are other Americans, all other folks. But a story just like yours that hasn't been covered by the mainstream media is the persecution, the selective killing of Christians throughout the Middle East.
It is, and it's horrible. We are just seeing it on the news, but it's happened for thousands, over 1,600 years since about a few hundred years after Christianity, when Islamic governments formed there, and it is, you know, actually spread in our and in Iran. It spread through violence and killings. If it wasn't an Islamic government before, it was an Islamic country before, and so it's happened for a long time now. It's coming to light, but a lot of Christians are being slaughtered and killed and imprisoned for lifetimes and horrible things, tortures. And my husband's one of them. And our government, he's a U.S. citizen. He hasn't broken any law. And he's been there long enough. Our government somehow Iran realizes that they can still keep him. Our government needs to be very strict, very serious about this. He hasn't broken any law. He's there because of his Christian belief. This is not acceptable to Americans. Release him. I don't think we've been stern enough with Iran on this.
Nagmeh, who's the highest level in our government that you've spoken with?
I haven't spoken with Secretary of State Kerry or Obama, but I've spoken with a few people that are that are responsible for that region.
Like in the State Department, an undersecretary or something like that?
Yes, exactly.
And what has the administration said? I know Senator Rich, Senator Crapo, Congressman Labrador, Congressman Simpson, the Idaho folks have been great, Ted Cruz, Senator Paul, they've all been great. You've got a lot of support from the legislative branch. What about the executive? What have these folks said to you?
Well, we've discussed this before early on. They pretty much said there's nothing they can do. As a lot of millions of Americans spoke out, there was more. They start saying more. But ultimately, it needs to be done. You can't just say, oh, we're very disappointed the Iranian government. They need to release Saeed. There has to be something that, and Iran is at its most desperate point where they want to negotiate. They want the sanctions are really hurting them. And they really are now over, you know, now they have the Iraq issue that has threatened them. They're getting closer and closer to their borders. And these ISIS is, and so Iran is at a very desperate point, and it's an easy ask, you know, without exchange of, and again, we talked about he hasn't broken any law. Iran's holding him illegally, and Iran's coming to the U.S. At a very needy point, a very critical point. And, you know, I ultimately, what we've told the State Department, why isn't he released yet? You know, you've made statements saying this is not right. President Obama made a statement saying Saeed needs to be released to his family. But there's a lot of talks. But ultimately, he needs to come home. He's been there 2 years, tortured, beaten for nothing, for no crime. The Iranian government hasn't even said he's committed a crime. They've said a lot more in the last year, but I honestly, I'm just looking for action. He needs to be home right now.
It does say a lot about the differences between the Iranian government and the American government that can hold you without committing any crime for over 2 years.
Exactly. They said the Christian gatherings were undermining the national security of Iran. You say, where's evidence that there was anything anti-government? There's no evidence, but they're saying, well, we think any minority gather, any gatherings of Christian, of religious minorities is a threat to our country because we're an Islamic country. Well, why does it say in your law that that's allowed? And this happened 13 years earlier when there was a more moderate government allowing it. And so exactly, according to their own admission, he hasn't broken any law. They're being a bully and keeping him and holding him hostage. And somehow they can do that. And somehow there has to be someone in our government that says enough is enough. He needs to come home. And we haven't seen that yet. Obviously, he's still there.
Nagmeh, please stand by. More coming up with our friend Nagmeh Abedini. Please keep her family, and, of course, Pastor Saeed in your prayers. We'll get an update on his condition, and we'll talk more about what we can do through prayer, through our support, to help Pastor Saeed and Nagmeh and their family.
Weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Nagmeh Abedini with us, with the latest on her husband, Pastor Saeed. I mean, maybe we can't influence the governments as far as our government, but what about the media? And you've been on Fox. You were on Fox over the weekend, a couple weekends ago. You're always on Fox and CNN with Jake Tapper. Is there anything that you think of, and you work with the American Center for Law and Justice and other great groups and groups around the country, to get this story to the national networks?
You know, this issue, this human rights issue, which I don't understand, has become very hard to cover. There's been a lot of silence, and a lot of other media's Fox has covered a lot, has kept it alive, and has kept Saeed alive, honestly. And CNN has followed Jake Tapper, and also Wolf Blitzer has brought it up a few times. And so there's been some of the reporters have asked the Iranian government about Saeed and have mentioned him. So there's been some coverage by CNN, not as much as Fox, but there's been a lot of silence from a lot of these media that claim to be very liberal and very human rights, you know, oriented and care about human rights issues and all these crimes happening all over the world. And here's my husband being tortured because of his Christian faith. And there's been a lot of silence from a lot of other media other than pretty much Fox and CNN. And so that's really heartbreaking to see. This is not a political issue. It's been a lot of support coming mainly from the Republican Party, but if the Democratic Party or other parties step in and speak out, I would be more than happy to praise them for it. And I'm not a political person. I love this country. There's nothing, and I've shared this in front of the Congress. There's nothing more that I would want to see than this country united. And so if anyone really is vocal about it, I will be the first to praise them. But there's been a lot of silence, and which has been heartbreaking.
How is your husband doing?
He was doing better a few months ago. He was taken to a hospital in March, but in May, after 2 months of that, they didn't actually give him the surgeries he needed, but he was recovering because of the environment of the hospital. And after 2 months of being in the hospital to recover from the previous beatings, he was beaten pretty badly and taken back to prison. And his family got to see him, soon after he was taken, and he was not doing very well. He couldn't even get up. He had bruises, and they saw him a few days ago again. They see him every Wednesday in the prison, and he was doing much better. He's recovering now. And actually, a few days ago, this last Wednesday, was the first time they actually got to see him in prison without any glass windows separating them. They actually got to see him physically and a physical visitation, which was great for them to see Saeed.
Do you think his life will ever be the same once he's released?
You know, I think anyone who's been held and separated from family, I think they need a time of readjusting. I think it's different. I think he's a different person. He's gone through a lot. Just solitary confinement, I think, are psychologically, damaging. He's had a few of those. He's been in and out of solitary. The tortures and all the things that, you know, every day we don't really go through. I'm sure he has to. It's something that he would have to process and deal with, and then coming back to a family with years of being in prison and solitary, and then being with cellmates, it will be different than being with a family. So having to adjust to that it would also be difficult.
Finally, let's talk about your faith in the Lord, his faith in the Lord, and how that gets you through.
You know, I've shared before, every morning I get up, and I'm sure, you know, anyone going through a difficulty feels that. You don't feel even the strength to get up in the morning. I look at my bed, and it's empty, and my husband's being held and tortured for his Christian faith. And, it's really every single day, having the strength to even get out of bed and to even talk and travel and I'm traveling to D.C. again this Sunday, hoping to get some answers from the State Department on what's happening with Saeed. And so just to be able to travel require, it's just my faith. It's not a religion. It's as more real. There's only this relationship with God through Jesus Christ that can give me this peace that no trial, nothing in life can take away from me. Even if everything I loved was taken from me, this is so real that has given me so much peace and joy. And, you know, that's something I tell people. It's you can go through the worst storms in life and have peace because there's a relationship that knows the deep depths of who you are and can fix all those anxieties and worries and trauma that you're going through with whatever issue it is, be it economics, finances, relationships. And that's been the jewel that I've discovered in the last 2 years, that when you go through a rough time, to know that that's real. It's a real living faith. And Jesus is real. And then for Saeed, the same. They haven't been able to break him because of his faith. They wanted to break him to his spirit. They wanted him to go back to Islam, repent of his Christian faith. And he's had more joy, more peace than has actually made the guards confused of how this is even possible, has made the other inmates confused. He's led other inmates to Christ because of that. And it's something so real. You can see it in a person that's going through the worst time and they can still have peace. And I think for me, that in itself, being someone who's always worried, that in itself for me is a miracle that I have so much peace, because that's not who I was before Saeed was taken.
You have a favorite verse in the Bible that you refer to in times of challenge?
I found a favorite verse the last 2 years. One of my favorites is 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Where Paul has a thorn, and Paul says, you know, once this painful thorn removed, and God says, my grace is sufficient. And then verse 10, he says, well, I take pleasure in infirmities, in, you know, ridicules, in distress, in everything, in persecution. Paul talks about taking pleasure, and this is not humanly possible. How do you take pleasure in the worst time of your life? And it's only possible because then at those times you're so broken, you discover the depths of your weakness and you can discover a new intimacy with God. And that's what Paul is enjoying, not the pain, but where the pain is taking him. And so I would say, you know, if we can learn and to go against our culture and actually enjoy and embrace what the painful event or person or whatever it is that's in our life, then we can reach another level of intimacy with God, and you could be walking through the storm and it could mean nothing. So that's been my verse in the last couple of years, to just embrace whatever you're going through. It hurts because it's a thorn. You don't want to embrace a thorn, but if you can embrace it, it will take you to places you never thought. It will give you personally a lot of joy and peace, but it will also take you in your life. Like, I've been before nations, before governments, before ambassadors. It will take you to places in your life that you never thought you would ever go.
Nagmaid, keep the faith and safe travels.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Kevin. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. Take care now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Nagmaid Abedini. And, you know, how many of us, we sit back and we think about our own travails, our own issues, and here you have this brave young lady and her family fighting to keep her husband alive and to get him home to the Treasure Valley. And how about that Fox News, through their continual broadcasting of this story, keeping Pastor Saeed alive? And here's the other thing. Shame on ABC. Shame on NBC. Shame on CBS that they can give us this holy-poly, roly-poly propaganda, and they can't cover this story. What's wrong with them? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
listen on your smartphone, download the Radio Pup app today. Set an alarm and never miss a second of Kevin Miller. The Radio Pup on your phone and on 580 KITO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KITO, Kevin Godwin with us. Regional Vice President, Town Square Media. I want to make sure I got your title right. Is that correct, sir?
Sure. Janitor.
Man of the world. Great to have you here. An event that you have been a part of, that you had a brainstorming effect on, that you brainstormed, that you financed, that you made happen with your great team here, and, of course, so many others, the Boise Music Festival this Saturday, not only at 580KIDO, but Town Square Media here, is happening, and we want to get your thoughts on it. Can you believe it's been 5 years?
Yeah, fifth year this year. It's very exciting. We're a couple days away, and I know they're setting up down at Expo Idaho right now, and they started putting up the stage yesterday, the main stage, and I was talking to Michael Dietz at Idaho Statesman a couple days ago, and he said, gosh, this is a fifth year in it. And I was like, I just didn't even realize it, but yeah. And it's going to be a great show. I mean, we're bringing in some bigger talent every year, and this year's no exception. We got, having Train Grammy Award winners, and they're a big band. They play big shows, and I know everyone in the community so far that I've talked to is real excited to see them play. And the lineup this year is because that's what most people want to discuss is who's playing. And we have such energy on the stage this year. Really great live shows. People always ask me, how do you define each year and so forth, and this year, I would say that the lineup that we have on stage is very high energy. I mean, you're not going to hear a whole lot of ballads. There's going to be a lot of dancing, and there's going to be a lot of, singing and songs that people recognize. And there's going to be, just really terrific live shows, Kev.
And you don't forget the local bands. This is an opportunity for a lot of local bands to showcase their talents.
Yeah, we have over 50 local bands that'll play on different stages. We have different themed stages. So, if you like a certain genre of music, that you can go and hang out with those guys. We have a, kind of an indie rock stage. We have a hip hop stage. We have a electric dance music stage. We have a variety stage, family stage. There's lots of different types of music and different and what a great opportunity for local bands and regional bands to kind of highlight their highlight their skill and
sure
and get a little attention and
right
and we're looking forward to that. That those are always popular too, and they run throughout the day. So
now I have to ask you, people ask me this all the time, how do you pick who's coming and who isn't? We year one Brett Michaels, now Train.
It's funny,
I've been lobbying for Meatloaf for several years, but
we'll go to lunch today. I would say that it really depends on I get asked that a lot. It depends on who's routing. That's an interesting world, a world that I don't like. I do what I got to do to get the talent here, but we got some help. We have some great relationships with some people that help us get talent, but it's different every year. It just depends on things like, how busy Europe is during that time. Europe is a very busy concert season. They have lots of cities that take big bands away from the United States during that time. I think it has to do with the euro and the dollar and what they're paying over there for that. There's a lot of festivals now. People are, you got the Coachellas and the Stagecoaches, and there's a lot, it kind of falls, where your festival date falls as well and where people are at the time. And so this year we kind of lucked out. We've been trying to get Train here for every year for the entire 5 years, and we finally put enough pressure on them to get them up here, and I'm very excited, and they're excited to be here. They made some personal changes in their calendar, family reunions and stuff to come play for us. So it's a unique process to find people. You got to talk to lots of different talent agencies and
sure.
And
lots of egos, I bet.
Oh yeah, lots of egos and lots of dollars and lots of accommodations that you got to make and to put it all together and make everything fit as a unique puzzle every year.
Now, when we take a look at what it takes to bring this thing together, you've got great sponsors, The staff works hard, not just the folks on the air, the sales staff, the support team. This is a huge concept. Did you ever think to yourself, or year after year as you get ready for this, we might be biting off more than we can chew? And, you know, the idea that support comes from the community, from the sponsors, and from the staff.
You know, we have an incredible staff here. I tell people all the time, there's about 50 people literally inside these walls that make it happen here at Town Square Media. We've done these shows a long time. We used to do shows called Listener Appreciation Concerts, and they were much smaller. They were, 10,000 people versus 70 or 80,000 people. But, very talented people here, and we had a good model for a long time that's been successful. You know, I learned from a guy that one of my mentors, Ed Hardy, who's the vice president of programming for GAC Television for country station now with Scripps Howard. And Ed first started listener appreciation shows where you give away a lot of free tickets to your audience, and sponsors pay for, the show itself. And it's a unique concept, and it's tough to pull off. It really is. It's a big risk for a company because there's a lot of expenses that you're on the hook for, and things can go wrong. Weather, it could be whatever. But he started those in 1975 at KOA in Denver, Colorado, with Charlie Pride in a shopping mall down there.
Wow.
And that can take you back a few years, 35, 40 years. Just kind of perfected that process over time. And I was lucky enough to start working with him on those in the mid-90s. When we came over here, I had the same core people that I had worked with on those in the past here in Boise. And we said, how can we make this thing bigger? How can we take it up a notch and really do something special? And kind of the idea of that River Festival had gone away. And,
right.
And, of course, we were involved with the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic and Scott Spencer and that group that had done the balloons for River Festival. We thought, boy, it'd be great if we could do, a live concert that brought people down. And we started in Ann Morrison Park, just like the old River Festival. But we've liked our relationship with the Expo Idaho folks, and Bob Batista and those guys out there have been really terrific to work with. And it fits us out there. It really feels good to be out there. We just had an amazing response from the community. And of course, it's fun to be able to contest and give as many tickets as we do away.
Sure.
Some of these people have called me and said, I would never be able to take my family out to an event like this. They'd never have enough money to, this is a concert ticket. Well, I'll give you an example. We've got a concert up in Montana called Headwaters, a country concert over a 3-day period, and tickets are $150 a piece.
Wow.
And I look at concert tickets for events like this, and they're $200, $250 a piece, and there's a lot of families with big families that could never, spend a day and spend that kind of money, and then all the things that they got to do out there to, stay hydrated or eat.
Sure.
Or whatever. So that's really rewarding for me, is I love to see a lot of people come out and get to enjoy a really big show.
Enjoy the show?
I love it.
You're working, though. I've seen you work.
Yeah.
You've got the game face on.
Yeah, a little bit. There's a time at the end of the day. I'll get some time tomorrow night with one of our partners that helps us with talent, and we're going to have dinner together and get ramped up for this thing.
Right.
And after some sound checks are done tomorrow afternoon. But we'll also, towards the end of the night, I really enjoy it. I mean, a lot of the artists will come back out. We usually play have some of the bigger artists towards the end of the night. And so some of the middle acts will come out and really want to watch some of their heroes play. Someone that plays at 2 o'clock or on a local stage wants to come over and watch Train play. They want to watch, LL Cool J, or they want to see Kelly Pickler, or, Brett Michaels.
Sure.
Joan Jett. And, I remember Sugar Ray a few years ago all came back out on the stage with us and hung out on the side of the stage to watch Joan Jett. They'd never seen her live. They they're always touring opposite.
Right.
And so to have them having such unique talent in one place, because it spans the genres, right? We have a rock person. We have a pop group, we have country, we have, and so to see their enthusiasm to watch other talent was really, it's kind of a fun deal, you know, to talk to them about that and go, wow, I mean, how incredible is that to be here and watch that? So,
Kevin Godwin, we appreciate it. See that one quick.
Wow.
Good times.
Thanks. You can go to BoiseMusicFestival.com for all the details on like tickets and where you can still get your tickets. I highly suggest anyone out there that wants to go to the show to get VIP tickets at the Coors Light Cool Zone. Those are the best seats in the house.
That they are. Thank you, Kev.
Thanks.
You're listening to 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time. And I'm Kevin Miller. I do appreciate everybody, well, just being a part of the show today. Coming up tomorrow, we'll take a look at the Boise Music Festival some more. Of course, stop out and see us on Saturday. Great, great events. Tickets just about anywhere, and they're free, so take advantage of that. Do appreciate you listening, and hang in there. Good day. God bless. And as always, my friends, keep the faith.